Well, this afternoon, we are continuing our afternoon series. As you know, we're going through the book of Luke in the mornings. And in the afternoons, we have been doing an occasional series through Spurgeon's Catechism, which is a Baptistic version of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And we have been looking at the questions. Of course, we're not trying to exposit the catechism so much as we're trying to look at what does Scripture teach on a topic and how has the catechism sort of summarized this using the biblical proofs. And I want to give us one Scripture passage as one of the proofs to give us a focal point before we look at this particular one. One of the proofs is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. And we just remain seated as we will read this verse to give us a focal point. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. The Apostle Paul writes, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." May God bless the reading of his word. Well, we are up to, believe it or not, question 30. And that question is, what benefits do they who are effectually called partake of in this life? And the answer given is this: they who are effectually called do in this life partake of justification, adoption, sanctification, and the several benefits which in this life do either accompany or flow from them. Over the last couple of weeks, remember, we were looking at the effectual call. How is it that men are converted? And we talked about how the Lord calls people. There's the external call. Whenever the gospel is preached, there's an external call that goes out. Sometimes it only falls externally on men's ears. Audibly, they understand the words. But the more pungent call, the powerful call, the effectual call is the internal call. And that's when men hear not merely with their ears, but the word sinks into their hearts. As Paul says in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that's the call that goes out. We hear externally, but then internally. And it's the effectual call. It's the efficient call. God uses it as a means to draw men to himself, and that effectual call goes out. Now, we're continuing in the catechism to ask, okay, those who are effectually called to become believers, what benefits, and it notes in particular, what benefits do they partake of in this life? And as we go through the rest of the catechism, you'll see that the catechism says that benefits accrue to believers at least three different points. Benefits accrue to those who are effectually called in this life, right now. They accrue to us at our deaths. And benefits accrue to us at the final resurrection. Three different points. In this life, now, at our deaths, and at the final resurrection and judgment. This question points us to consider the benefits or the blessings that the followers of Christ who have been effectually called receive now, immediately, that begin in this life. In some circles, the Christian faith has been criticized over the years as being too future-oriented. And I know even as a young person myself growing up in a Southern Baptist church, we used to sing all the old heaven songs. You know, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And even though people weren't here when the roll was called down here, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. And all the songs about, you know, walk on the streets of gold. And my kids know I have a little parody of, you know, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll nevermore wander, but walk the streets paved with purest gold. But it's just very future-oriented, and particularly, you know, that was very popular. A lot of blue-collar areas where places like Southern Baptists thrived because people had hard lives, and it was hard. You were in the Appalachians, and you worked hard, and sometimes you got up early, and worked hard all day. You went to sleep tired. You struggled to be able to feed your children. And to have a hope that there was a better land, there was a better place, was a better time coming, certainly was a comfort and not to be dismissed. But sometimes Christianity has been criticized as being too future-oriented. You might know that Marx, for example, said that religion was just the opiate of the masses. And it was just something concocted by those who were in power. Let's sell religion to these poor people and we'll promise them heaven so we can encourage them to remain slaves here on earth. Some have said Christianity is just pie in the sky, by and by. To which the believer replies, no, it is pound by pound on the ground while you're still around. What benefits do those who are effectually called partake of in this life? What blessing comes to the man, the woman, the child that trusts Christ in this life? In John 10:10, Jesus taught, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He also speaks in the Gospel of John very often about eternal life, everlasting life. And that means a life that doesn't begin at some point out there in the future, but eternal life, everlasting life, begins now. Christ brings immediate benefits to us. And there are graces and blessings that, as the Catechism says, accompany or flow from the benefits that we receive from Christ in this life. The Catechism points to three specific scriptural benefits that we receive. And these are going to be spelled out as we go through the Catechism. There'll be a question about each one of these. The three benefits are justification, adoption, and sanctification. And in future weeks, you'll see, if you're here with us, we're going to ask, what is justification? Then what is adoption? What is sanctification? And we're going to have the opportunity through the medium of this catechism to hear what the godly fathers, Puritan fathers, had to say about what is justification, what is adoption, what is sanctification. And I might say to the children who are here, sometimes we bandy about these words, and if you're here for very long, you're going to hear the word justification, adoption, sanctification, those words thrown around. And these are very important words in our biblical and Christian vocabulary. You know, if you've ever learned a language, one of the things you know is when you first learn the languages, you have to learn the basic vocabulary. I had the opportunity some years ago to move to Hungary and spend a couple of years there, and I had to learn Hungarian. And the first thing I started to do was to try to get the vocabulary, the basic vocabulary down. If you learn biblical Greek or Hebrew, there are word lists that tell you these are the 50 most common words used in the language and so forth. And even in in teaching my own children over the years, things like Latin, the first thing we do is start out with putting their vocabulary words on index cards that they then review over and over again, learning the definitions of those terms. Well, we might say that when someone becomes a Christian, he must learn the language of Canaan. He must learn biblical terms. He must understand their meaning. And he will turn them over and over again in his mind as he goes through the course of his Christian life. And his understanding of those concepts become deeper and deeper as he goes along in the journey. But he must begin somewhere. And so, children, you're going to begin this lifelong, Lord willing, process of learning what is justification, what is adoption, what is sanctification. And those terms and concepts become deeper and more meaningful to us as we go along. Well, let's look at briefly, because we're going to, again, unpack each one of them in greater detail in future weeks. But let's just look at them. And we're looking in particular, think about, well, what are the benefits in this life that accrue to us from these blessings? So first of all, justification. The proof text that is given in the catechism for justification is once again Romans 8. And I know we looked at this with effectual call, but Romans 8, and it cites verse 30, which talks about those that he has predestined, he has called, and those whom he's called, he's justified. But let's look at a little bit at the larger context here for a moment. Romans 8, and I'll start in verse 28. Verse 28 is one of those great comforting verses. I remember when we were doing our Romans series a few years ago, I did Romans 8:28, and I called it a verse that has blessed many. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Sometimes this verse is sort of cited as a general application to all human beings. You know, God is working out a good purpose and plan for all people. And to some degree, we might say that's true. But what might strike you is who are the objects that are mentioned as those for whom God is working all things together for good? Those who love Him and those who are who? The called. Who are the called? Those who have received the effectual call. The called according to His purpose. And then, now he's going to go on and say in verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And here we've got some more of our vocabulary of the Christian faith. Foreknowledge. And then predestination. And then we come to verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. The external call, the internal call, the effectual call being applied to believers. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. You might remember we called this the ordo salutis, or the order of salvation, a framework for understanding the order of salvation. Those who are called are justified. And now we're at our term. Well, what is justification? The moment a man, woman, or child is born again, repents, and believes in Christ alone for salvation, the Scriptures teach that he is justified in God's sight. He is declared righteous in God's sight, although he has been and remains a sinner. One of the benefits we receive in this life when we trust Christ is we are justified. We are declared righteous in God's sight. Well, what are the benefits of that? Well, one of the benefits is we have peace with God. In Romans 5:1, Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when, in this case, in Romans 5:1, when he uses the word peace, it doesn't necessarily mean outward tranquility. But it means that we recognize that our hostilities against God have ended. We have been justified. We have been declared righteous in God's sight. We are no longer the objects of His wrath. We no longer face His just judgment for our sin because that wrath has been poured out on Christ. The price has been paid by Christ. In Romans 5:9, Paul says, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Do you think that's a benefit in this life? To know that you have peace with God? To know that you are no longer under His wrath? Friends, that is a benefit. That's a benefit to our conscience. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean outward. Sometimes when you know peace with God through Christ, it can mean that everything externally about your life is thrown into chaos. I've noted before the book that I recently read and reviewed by the woman who had been a professor at Syracuse University. And when she was converted, the end result was she lost most of her friends. She lost her tenured professorship. Her life, she said, was a train wreck. It was comprehensive chaos. But she had peace with God. even though all the external things were in a shambles around her. Another benefit from justification is we come to the realization that our salvation is not dependent on our good works or on our law keeping. In Galatians 3:11, Paul says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." What a benefit it is to know that your salvation, your standing with God, doesn't depend on you keeping all the rules or doing everything right. It's not dependent upon that. I remember a couple years ago when we traveled to China, when we were adopting Joseph, and we visited a Buddhist temple, and we saw folks in this. First of my life, I'd really, literally seen people worshiping idols. But there was a woman who was kneeling down before one of these idols on a pillow, a cushion. And she was kneeling, the cushion was big, and she was kneeling on the very bottom part of it. And our guide told us, he said, she must be kind of a novice, a Buddhist, because you get to put your knees higher up on the pillow based on how spiritual you were. So a Buddhist priest or monk could come in and put his knees toward the top, but a layman could only put his knees at the bottom. And I thought, oh, what a picture of works righteousness. If I only can keep more of the rules and do more of the right things, I can move my knees up a little bit more on the pillow. And what a liberation justification is. When we know it's all God's work, we are justified by faith in Christ. And through that, we have peace with God. What a liberation. Also, with justification, we have the benefit that we have assurance of salvation as we understand that our justification is an accomplished fact. It's repeatedly described in the Scriptures in the past tense. We are justified. And so biblical Christianity doesn't confuse justification, which happens in a moment in time and is punctiliar, with sanctification, which is progressive. The second benefit that the Catechism points us to is adoption, a benefit that we enjoy in this life. When we become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are taken into a new family. As I heard a preacher once say it, it's as if we stand before God as our judge for our crimes, for our sin. And instead of throwing the book at us, instead of punishing us for what we have done, He lays the guilt and penalty of our sin on His own dear Son. And then He takes us out of criminal court, where we have been justified, and He takes us down the hall to family court. And He adopts us and makes us His own sons. The proof text that's given in the Catechism is Ephesians 1:5. "Having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." What are the benefits of adoption that we experience in this life? Well, we understand that we are not spiritual orphans. We have a home. We have a father. We have an elder brother. We approach the Lord not as some distant, aloof, unfeeling, remote power, but we approach Him as a child does his own father. We have been made part of God's own royalty. We have access and we have familiarity with the God of the Bible. If I tried to go up to Washington, D.C. and I wanted to meet the president and I marched up to Pennsylvania Avenue and tried to get in, they would say, "Hold it, sir. Who are you?" But I'm sure that if the president's one of his two daughters were to come before him, don't you think he would allow them to come into his presence? You see, when we are adopted by God through Christ, we have familiarity. We have access to the Father. And this is a great benefit. We have a hope. We have been made co-heirs with Christ. The third little part of our theological vocabulary after justification and adoption is sanctification. And children, this is a very important term to learn and to know. Because the Christian life isn't just about getting saved. I know my early years, I grew up in a church where salvation, the altar call, was very, very important. And truly evangelism and coming to faith in Christ is for all the world a difference. But it doesn't end there, does it? When we're saved, the next part of the Christian life is sanctification. It's growing in holiness. And whereas salvation is typified in justification as punctiliar, it happens in a moment of time, sanctification is progressive. And it happens through stages. It is a pilgrimage. It is a journey from one stage of knowledge to another, from one stage of glory to another. And so when we are made saints of God, we are made progressively holy. We are sanctified. Sometimes we hit points where we backslide. We take turns off the road and we have to have correction to get back on. But by grace, we are moving progressively toward holiness. The proof text for this is the verse I read at the beginning, 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. As the catechism will later say it when we get to the exposition of what is sanctification, it will say that we are being renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. If in our doctrine we have justification without sanctification, the result is antinomianism, lawlessness, and the resultant lack of holiness. If we have sanctification, however, without a firm grip on justification, we have legalism and attempts at what we might call auto-salvation, self-salvation. And so balanced biblical Christianity calls us to understand both of these benefits, that we are justified and that we've been adopted and that we are sanctified and all the blessings that flow from them. Sanctification means that I understand that though I am converted, I am still engaged in a battle with sin. By God's grace and with the Spirit's enabling, I am striving to die more and more to sin and to live more and more for Christ. But I do so in such a way as grasping that the final victory is won. And so there's another part of the vocabulary that's not mentioned yet in these benefits because it's still to come. And that's one we experience at our deaths. And what is that? Glorification. But in this life, we experience justification, adoption, and sanctification. No, friends, the benefits of the Christian life do not begin at some far-off point in the future. It's not pie in the sky by and by. Faith in Christ does not merely bring comfort to us in our deaths or when we contemplate standing before the judge of all the earth at the end of our days, but it is a practical benefit now as we consider how we have been justified by faith, adopted as His sons, and are being sanctified. Amen?
Amen.
Let me invite you to stand together. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for this opportunity to meditate upon these thoughts. And Father, help us to learn this vocabulary of the faith, the language of Canaan. At whatever stage we are, whether some of the children who are here are just learning perhaps their own mother tongue, Father, they would correspondingly learn with this the language of Canaan. And even for those, some of us here who have been Christians for a longer period of time, that we would come to a new appreciation of your word, a new appreciation of grace, a new appreciation of what has been done for us in Christ. And Father, indeed, the more we are in the Christian life and the more we know of the gospel, the more we are in awe of it. And so deepen our understanding and deepen our appreciation for Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.